sports, politics, life. North Kansas City Dental presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at nkcdental.com.
When things go bad in sports, it's very easy for sports fans to try to find one person, one reason, one silver bullet why things fell apart and the season was not what it was supposed to be. We saw this earlier this year at Kansas State as their season was unraveling. Every K-State fan under the sun decided to blame the university president for kicking Naquan Tomlin off the team. In fact, he was never going to play this year because of a Title IX issue on campus. He would have to go to another school in order to play, because K-State simply was not going to allow him to play while an investigation was taking place throughout the season. But it was very easy for Kansas State fans to blame the entire season on the university president for making that decision. We do this as sports fans. We want a boogeyman. Everybody wants a reason. It may be a kicker missed a kick in Buffalo. You know, whatever it may be, blame the entire season on one play, one player, one coaching decision, one person. It's always easy to find a boogeyman. This came into focus on Tuesday for the Kansas Jayhawks, whose season has been one of the worst ever under Bill Self, if not the worst ever. And now every Kansas fan under the sun is blaming Kevin McCullough Jr. for the entire troubled season. Are they right? Well, they could be. I'm never going to say that K-State fans were wrong, that the university president was, you know, complicit or did the wrong thing or whatever happened at K-State. I'm not going to tell you that Kevin McCullough didn't take the chicken exit here, and we'll give some very good reasons why Kevin McCullough will not play in the NCAA tournament for the Kansas Jayhawks. It was very clear on Tuesday when Bill Self met with the media outside the hotel in Salt Lake City that this was McCullough's decision. He said it's too much pain. He said it's too much pain to go. He's decided he can't play. Reporter followed up and said, how bad is that to see a guy in his last year not be able to play at least this first round? And Bill Self said, first round, no, he's done. We shut him down. It's over. Which was Bill Self saying, the second I heard him say he can't play Thursday, he's done. I'm done with Kevin McCullough Jr. It's over. He said the guy hasn't practiced in 6 weeks, but somehow, miraculously, he found a way to play 31 minutes 10 days ago, or when it, 12 days ago, against Kansas State and score 19 points and hold Tyler Perry to zero field goals in one of McCullough's absolute best games of the year at Allen Fieldhouse, the last game of the year at Allen Fieldhouse, the last hurrah in front of the home fans. He went out and played one of his best games of the year, and nobody noticed a thing about him, and it wasn't limited action. He played 31 minutes in a route where he wasn't required to play any more than that and did everything you could possibly want Kevin McCullough to do in a route of K-State. Then they get to the Big 12 tournament. We heard Bill Self say, we're going to be as healthy as we've ever been. He said last week, getting ready for Cincinnati, that McCullough could play, but Hunter Dickinson was not ready to play. Turns out, apparently, that wasn't true. And it makes you wonder if Bill Self was saying this for the committee to hear to get a higher seed in the NCAA tournament. This whole thing has spiraled out of control. I still think they beat Samford. I think it becomes more problematic, obviously, against Gonzaga. Or as KU goes down the road, we can't really see them beating any of the best teams without their best defender, Kevin McCullough Jr., who does much more than that. He scores in double digits, gets rebounds and assists. He's just a very versatile, quality player for the Kansas Jayhawks, who they've turned into the boogeyman. Every Kansas fan believes he's a quitter, that there's nothing left in this for him, that he has a little bit of pain, doesn't care about the NCAA tournament, is on a team, recognizes, hey, we're not winning anything going forward. I'm not going to keep playing if there's pain involved. And these things may all be true. But I would like to point out the bigger picture here, because McCullough put out a long statement after Bill Self said this was McCullough's choice. McCullough put out a long statement saying this was between me, the coaches, and the doctors. It was such a long statement that he posted. He knew he was being blamed by everyone for everything that's gone wrong for Kansas all season. That may or may not be fair. Here's the system. Here's the situation we live in. And this is why you listen to this podcast, because I will create a convergence of politics and sports. And I do it all the time because there is no such thing as sports without politics anymore. It does not exist. For over a decade, the liberal sports media in America pushed and pushed and pushed for unfettered free agency among athletes. They can transfer from one school to the next. They can always play for the highest bidder any season they play. And there are no incentives in these contracts. They get paid their money. then you're allegedly going to keep working and playing even after you've made your money. And McCullers made a pile at KU, transferred, stayed a couple of years to stay another year. I'm sure he got paid a good sum of money. Hunter Dickinson was paid, some people say, close to $2 million to come to Kansas and play this year. I have argued all season long Bill Self is not the same coach for two reasons. One is health related. I think he cannot stress himself the way he used to with a valve in his heart. Number two, you can't bench your players and scream at them like you used to and discipline them because they'll just quit on you. And that's what this looks like to me. This looks and sounds to me like Bill Self and Kevin McCullers Jr. got sideways with each other at some point in the last few weeks. And McCullers just said, to hell with you. I got paid. I'm done. I ain't playing for you anymore. I don't care. I'm done. I played my senior night at Allen Fieldhouse. I was spectacular. I've done enough. I'm going to keep resting this thing. I'm out of here, and I'm going to go play pro somewhere. He's not an NBA player in all likelihood, but you can make a lot of money playing basketball for several years once your college eligibility is up. Kansas is going to be the school that keeps its best players from going pro because they will pay them more than the minor professional leagues will pay them. So Kansas, as they go forward, has a great chance to keep their team together, but it's always going to be with money. And it's going to be money that is mostly paid up front. There is no incentive. There is no, hey, Kevin, you got to play in this number of games to get paid. Hey, Kevin, we have to win an NCAA tournament game for you to get paid. Hey, Kevin, you got to get out there and do this or do that to get paid. There is none of that. There is zero incentive for Kevin McCullers to play. He's already been paid. This is the era that every liberal sports reporter in America wanted. I was screaming from the mountaintop, I'm going to hate college sports. This absolutely sucks. We've heard Nick Saban testify in front of Congress that he is no longer coaching for this reason. And if you're a Kansas fan, this is scary as hell. Because is Bill Self going to keep coaching in this environment? Does Bill Self want to coach in an era where he cannot discipline his players? He can't bench them because they'll transfer and go play somewhere else. Does he want to play in an environment where everyone he recruits wants guaranteed playing time and guaranteed money, or they're not coming to Kansas? They're not going to come to Kansas because it's Kansas. They're not going to come to Kansas because it's Bill Self. Nick Saban said that was happening to him at Alabama, and he hit the exit. Nick Saban said to the entire world, these kids don't want to be at Alabama. They don't want to play for Nick Saban. They don't want to do it the way we've done it here for a long, long, long period of time. They want money and guaranteed playing time. And if they don't get it, they're leaving. And Nick Saban said, I am donezo. I'm out. We've watched most veteran coaches bail over the last few years in both sports. They're gone. It's younger coaches on their way up, getting their money, getting their salaries, getting where they're going to go. I think I read yesterday there's only six coaches in this NCAA tournament that have won a national title. Bill Self's got to be the only one that's won two. They're gone. The legends have had enough. They've made their money. They've got their records. They're in the Hall of Fame, and they've walked away and said, this is stupid. This is stupid. It would be easier to coach NBA players because they're under contract, and you can trade them someplace they don't want to go. You now control NBA players better than you control college athletes. And Bill Self can't make Kevin McCullers play. He can't do it. You and I both know that 10 years ago, McCullers would have been playing through this pain. He'd have played 12 minutes here, 18 minutes there, maybe only 6 minutes there because they got behind against Houston, whatever it may be, but he would have been playing more than he has. And he's tried. He's played some games. He's been in and out of games, but he's not practiced. So the effort hasn't been what Bill Self wanted. And Bill Self made it pretty clear that this was Kevin McCullers' decision. Bill Self is frustrated with his player, and he has to be frustrated with the fact that it's hard to motivate Hunter Dickinson. There's games that Dickinson goes out, and it looks like he's not trying very hard. He's been paid, folks. These are millionaire college kids. Can you imagine being 21, driving a fancy car, having all the girls you want, millions of dollars in the bank, and a coach trying to tell you how to do things when you're thinking, I'm 21, I'm smart, I'm a millionaire. What are you telling me what to do? I don't have to listen to you. I'll go somewhere else next year. I don't like the way you're treating me. I'm out of here. McCullers famously transferred in conference from a good program, Texas Tech. Texas Tech's pretty good. Wasn't good enough. He didn't like it there. I'm going to Kansas. There's more money. Went and got more money at Kansas to fill a role, and it ended poorly. And this is not unique to Kansas. This is not the story that I'm speaking about now really has nothing to do with Kansas other than the fact that this is scary as hell. For Kansas fans, Bill Self has been your program. I've said this a million times. All you have to do is look at Nebraska football, UCLA or Indiana basketball, Duke with what they are today compared to what they were. It is not about the school. Notre Dame is still Notre Dame, but they haven't had the right football coach. Nick Saban wasn't there. Kansas has been on this ridiculous run of Larry Brown, Roy Williams, and Bill Self. The scary part of this is what has transpired over the last year with Bill Self's health, with the players reacting the way they are. What would this season be if Kansas wasn't the high bidder for Hunter Dickinson? Would they even be in the tournament this year? Does Bill Self hate this? It looked like it to me. When he was talking about McCullough yesterday, it looks like a coach who's... Is Bill Self going to hang on and coach because his salary is so high? Is he okay with being a four seed every year, finishing sixth in the Big 12, going to the tournament for three more years and making $30 million more before he retires? Or is he going to be fed up and say, I can't coach these kids this way? This isn't what I do. I've got enough money. I don't know. But if Nick Saban walked, for crying out loud, Nick Saban was the guy that was going to coach until he died. Bill Self has always said, I'm not coaching until I'm dying. I'm going to live a life after basketball. And he's much younger than Nick Saban and a lot of the other coaches. I think Bill Self is 61. Maybe he could easily coach 10 more years if he wanted to. And every Kansas fan wants this. Kevin McCullough is the symptom of what the liberals that took over college athletics wanted. Remember, players weren't going elsewhere. They signed a contract to go to a school and get $400,000 worth of education, benefits, stipends, clothing, travel, perks, girls, condominiums, and the best lifestyle they will ever live the rest of their life. They were signing up for that, and they weren't complaining. And liberals everywhere couldn't stand it. Look at all the money that's being made. These kids should be making more. They should be getting more. I'm like, maybe the best player should, but not the guys at the bottom of the roster. What a great deal to go be at the bottom of the roster at the University of Kansas, have some hot girlfriend and a sweet car and all these perks, and you fly to Maui for a week every year and play basketball and ride the bench, whatever it may be. What a great existence. The top 1% of 1%ers on a college campus is a pretty damn good life. Oh, but it wasn't good enough for the liberals. No. We got to have unfettered free agency here for these kids. They should be able to do what they want to do, and now we're seeing it. And Kevin McCullough is the latest. Kevin McCullough is making decisions for Kevin McCullough. He's not listening to his coach. He's not listening to everyone else. I'm not saying Kansas fans are wrong. If they want to blame Kevin McCullough for everything that's gone wrong this year, they can. If you want to ask me what's gone wrong, there's been a massive change in college basketball that has affected Kansas. Two things: Bill Self's health, his ability to coach the way he used to coach, and you can't coach these kids that way. This is a massive story, a big, big story going forward for the Kansas Jayhawks, and NIL is right at the center of all of this. Kansas State's season is over. They lost 91-82 to Iowa. There's nothing to talk about here. They had a million more turnovers. And the question now is Jerome Tang and the university president, if they don't get along, is Jerome Tang going to take a lateral job? Is he going to go somewhere else? Is he a possibility to be looking elsewhere? Or have they patched things up in Manhattan, kissed and made up, and he's going to stay there because he's got a sweet contract and he really knows that the job opportunities after missing the tournament, getting pounded in the NIT, probably is not a great introductory news conference. I would suggest Jerome Tang play nice with his president and figure out a way to play better at Kansas State before thinking about going somewhere else. We're going to do a whole lot more college basketball coming up. Lee Sterling will join us at the back of the podcast with all kinds of great tips on betting lines and brackets. We're going to do all that. A couple of more sports notes coming up, brought to you by Beestock. I got a great email from Bruce, who lives near Emporia in Cottonwood Falls, Kansas. He says, we don't get to KC that often. But we were in the market for a new television, had to be in Kansas City for a doctor appointment. So we thought we'd swing by Beestock and check out the TVs. We ended up with the 55-inch Samsung Q60C for just $390. What an unbelievable deal. I also want to let you know that my wife found one of those robotic vacuum sweeper things for $100 and said she thought this was at least half price where it would be at Walmart. So we bought one of those. Happy early Mother's Day. As we left, she was talking to our daughter on the phone and told her about it. And our daughter said she wanted one. So we turned around and went back and got her one as well. BeStock.net. He said, I really wish I had the opportunity to regularly patronize some of your sponsors because we live pretty far away. We can't sponsor and work with all of them, but we certainly appreciate when we do. Bruce, thank you so much for coming to the city. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. BeStock.net is located at 14680 South Flaming Road. A couple of other sponsors you can use living outside of Kansas City would be MyPillow and MyPillow.com with the promo code KKHI. It's the only way to benefit the podcast. The only sponsorship they do is based upon sales and the promo code. So if you don't use the promo code, we get no credit for any of it. But when you go to MyPillow.com, if you're looking for new Giza Dream sheets, half price right now, or pillows, please use the promo code KKHI or call this specific phone number if you want to order something by phone. This is the KKHI phone number, 800-923-9034 for MyPillow and MyStore.com. Same thing goes for Ticket for Less. I am famously going to Vegas for a couple of days this week, and we're going to a concert on Friday night at T-Mobile Center in Vegas, and I got my tickets through ticketsforless.com. Pretty weird buying tickets at ticketsforless.com and putting promo code in of your own name. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a whole new deal for me, man. I saved 6% on my entire order. I love that. That's a little kickback from ticketsforless.com. We appreciate the great work that they do. You can also call them at 913-685-3322 or walk in anytime. If you want to pick out your Royals opening day season tickets, walk right in at 130th and Metcalf to their offices, ticketsforless.com. Speaking of the Royals and opening day, I saw a really cool photo yesterday of Wade Davis and Greg Holland in uniform in Surprise, Arizona. Matt Quatrero, the owner, the manager of the Royals, decided to call Davis and Holland and said, could you come out to spring training? I'll put you in uniform. I want you to hang out in the bullpen with my guys. I want you to watch their bullpen work and their sessions and report back to me on what you see. I want you to hang out with them, talk to them like your teammates, not coaches, get to know them, and tell me what you think about these guys. I mean, that is all I need to know about Manager Q. This is not brilliant. Okay, there's nothing really brilliant about this. I got a buddy who always says, oh, that's brilliant. Well, it's not brilliant. It's what you should be doing, but most managers won't. Most managers think, I got this. I know everything about everybody, and I've got this. No. Wade Davis, Greg Holland, embed yourself with this. It's an all-new bullpen. The Royals don't know what they have. These are all new pitchers in this bullpen. This is a completely remade bullpen. Will Smith is there. He's a veteran. But the Royals don't know what they have. They've got some arms. They're trying to figure out what they have. And having Wade Davis and Greg Holland hang around these guys, if even for a week, to get to know them a little bit, have lunch with them, maybe throw a little bit on the side, maybe jog, you know, when they do their running routine, get a little exercise. Guys, come on in here and be a major league. They're both retired. Come in here and be a major leaguer for a while. Flash your World Series rings at them. They know who you are. They're aware of who you are. Let me know what I got here. He didn't say it that way. He's not saying that outwardly. I didn't bring them in to spy on my relievers, but that's exactly what they're doing. He didn't give them coaching orders. He didn't say, go teach them how to throw your split finger fastball. He didn't tell them that. He said, go hang out with them. Watch them. Get to know them. Act like a teammate, a mentor, whatever. And then the untold part is report back to me, because you know they're going to report back to Quatrero. Of course they are. They are, of course, going to do that. Oh, I got a couple of tasty, really, really tasty emails here to share with you based on sports. The first comes from Brent, who grew up in Northwest Missouri. He says, I listened to Between the Lines on radio growing up and have followed you on the podcast even after we relocated to Central Iowa several years back. Thanks for continuing your show. Really enjoy the sports commentary. Politics, not my thing, but that's okay. I still listen to the whole episodes each morning while working. Well, okay, politics may not be your thing, but there's news that we talk about here that is his thing, because wait till you see where this goes. I'm no Royal season ticket holder or anything like that, and I'm not a Jackson County resident, but our family makes trips every year to Kansas City to watch our Royals. It is a longstanding tradition for myself, my wife, and our children to enjoy a weekend series at the K. I'm very concerned about this downtown stadium proposal due to the uptick in crime in that area. I know it probably won't have much of an impact, just my family, but I don't see us continuing the trip anymore when that stadium is built downtown. Too dangerous for my children. There is no chance I'm putting my family in a position to walk 4 to 6 blocks at 11 p.m. to get back to our car somewhere on the street, parking lot, garage, downtown, whatever it may be. Just thought I'd share. Man, Brent, I'm with you. You sound like a great dad. I am with you. This from Bob in Maryville. He's a regular emailer. Bob emails me all the time. He's a wonderful guy. I think he's going to be at the patron party. I got to look at my list. I should be at the Kevin, this made me smile and would definitely add fuel to your fire. Today I had the aha, did you notice that, moment. I DVR'd the Kansas City Current game last weekend just to check it out and see what it looked like. I watched it last night. After the Current scored their first or second goal, the camera switches to Patrick Mahomes picking up and bear-hugging the wife in celebration. I immediately thought Kevin commented on how the wife had announced she had a broken back from childbirth on social media. Has she healed? Is it 100% okay now? I bring this up, Kevin, because it seems inconsistent to what any man would do to his wife with a broken back or one that is recently healed. This is not to be taken as anything more than a make Kevin smile observation. Kevin is more than smiling. Kevin is laughing. Keep being awesome, says Bob. Bob, you keep being awesome. That's an unbelievable observation. Mrs. Mahomes and her broken back got picked up by Patrick after a goal for the Current. That's just incredible, awesome stuff. Thank you so much. Donald Trump won the state of Kansas. All 39 delegates go. He won big, 77% of the vote, something like that. The big news in primary news yesterday, 5 states voted. Ohio had a Senate primary where a man named Bernie Moreno, who's a great story, he's an immigrant, he's an American, he's everything that the left would embrace and just grab and say, oh my God, this is the guy. This is the future of our party. This is what we want. Bernie Moreno is an outsider. He's accomplished, and he's running for Senate in primary in the seat that the Democrat is leaving. So there will be a general election, obviously, in November. But Moreno is a Trumper, and he's got Trump's support. And he ran on one single issue. I'm an immigrant. I did it legally. And everybody else has to go. You get me in here, and I'm going to get funding for Ohio. We're going to deport all of them. Like, he just went from place to place in Ohio and said, deport, deport, deport. Gone, gone, gone. They cannot stay. They do not belong here. They didn't do it the right way. I did. They're gone. He ran against 2 other Republicans, entrenched rhinos in Columbus, Ohio, one in the Senate, and one, I think, was the Attorney General. And he trounced them, and he won the primary and will be the Republican running for Senate in Ohio, and he's going to win. They're going to win that seat in Ohio. The number one issue in exit polling in Ohio yesterday was illegal immigration. Bernie Moreno, remember the name, in Ohio. Here we go. Oh, I got a great clip to play for you regarding Trump. Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful, was on CNN, and he left the host with her jaw dropping wide open. There was another guest on who was a liberal. The host was liberal, and they were talking about the $400 million that Trump needs. And, of course, they're all running around saying Trump's broke. He's not really a billionaire. Well, there's a lot of billionaires that don't have $400 million cash. There's a lot of that. Elon Musk's net worth is largely tied to Tesla stock and the valuation there. Could he sell it? Of course. Could Trump sell assets? Of course he could. But I think he believes this is all going to be tossed and he's not going to owe this money. So he's trying to bond this money, which essentially is borrow it for now, put it up. There are all kinds of people saying that Letitia James should take $50 million right now. And would he pay $50 million to walk away from this? He might. They're saying she should take it because she'll never get it. Even if she goes and starts seizing buildings, she'll never get it. There are other investors in those buildings that are in line first. There are banks in line for that money first that she'll never get this money in the state of New York. That his holdings are global. They're in Scotland. They're all over the world. They're in Florida. She can't get those. This is a state issue, and she should take whatever she can get. Anyway, Mr. Wonderful goes on CNN and says, New York is killing itself because everybody in the world is watching what they're doing to a private business, And they're thinking to themselves, I'm never doing business in New York again. Listen to this from Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, just decimate the host and the other panelists on CNN.
I don't think this case is about Trump anymore. I think this case is about New York. It's about the American brand. It's about what we promise the world in terms of fairness and justice and investing capital in the country that's built the largest economy on earth. Forfeiture, seizing of assets. Is that in our nomenclature in America? Is that what we tell people that want to bring their money here and protect property rights? Forget about Trump. Nothing to do with Trump. You think this is good for business in New York? You think this is good for business in America? To take a law that we use to protect people against buying refrigerators at an overpriced value decades ago and apply it against an individual and then talk about seizing assets like he was in Venezuela or in Cuba? This is very, very, very bad look for New York. And everybody around the world is watching this. This may be great for the Attorney General, but this is not good for America.
But in terms of the valuation, can you be clear as to why? I mean, why would the properties not be sufficient collateral?
What a great message to send out all around the world. Take a claim where there was no monies lost. There was no fraud here in the context of actually people losing money. Deutsche Bank, who made the loan, was made whole. And let's make a penalty of $500 million against a crime, apparently, where no monies were lost. Great message for New York. Great message for America. Bring your capital because we'll protect your property. I think that was a statement that would be much better made sometime in Venezuela. I'm not kidding. That's a scary, scary message.
Mr. Wonderful is 100% right, and he says it artfully everywhere he goes. Joe Biden news on this Wednesday. A new record has been set by the Biden administration as we have emptied out our embassy in Haiti. Cannibals are down there taking over the country. They're killing people and eating them. Jeez, Joe Biden. This is the 11th embassy we have had to evacuate since Joe Biden became president. Did you know that? In 3.5 years, Joe Biden is president, 3+ years, Joe Biden is president, we have evacuated 11 embassies around the world. U.S. embassies have had to be evacuated for safety reasons. Joe Biden, 11 embassies, that is a record for any president in the history of the United States. Lee Sterling will join us shortly. I've got a couple of nuggets for you here on sports betting for the NCAA tournament, if you'd like, before Lee joins us with his thoughts. The first one is 70% of teams in the first round of the NCAA tournament that enter the tournament coming off a loss of 20 points or more, 70% of the time they cover. So what that's saying is this team got pounded last week, and so the line adjusted too far, and these teams tend to cover. Those teams this week are Kansas, Texas Tech, Houston, South Carolina, and Clemson. They all enter the tournament coming off 20-point-plus losses, and those teams cover, traditionally, 70% of the time, which would obviously be a winning weekend for you. So there's five schools. You got to think three of the five are going to cover. That sounds like a winning strategy to play those five to cover. The other one is a tasty morsel out there that I think is about a decade old. This one goes back about a decade or 8 years. It's a pretty large sample size. It's not, hey, this happened last year. This is a number of years. If a total in a first-round game, and that's Thursday or Friday, if a total on the game is 149.5, you play the under. 75% of all the games the last decade that were the total of 149.5 or higher, if one's 155, there is one that's 155, you play the under in those games. And 75% of those have gone under. So the key number is 149.5. I believe there are seven of those games on Thursday and Friday. I don't have them listed here, but you can look them up, but also watch the lines for movement. You want to bet them under 149.5. If it moves down to 147.5, you don't want to touch it. 75% have hit in the past there. Pretty good advice as Lee Sterling is getting ready to talk about brackets and who he likes in this tournament. It's all brought to you by the Bluemont Hotel. Online at BluemontHotel.com. It's Manhattan's destination reservation for wedding parties, rehearsal dinners, receptions, reunions, you name it, or just a guy's trip to go play Colbert Hills or a frat party weekend. The Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center inside the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan. Ideal Health KC is regenerative medicine. I look forward to the day, and there will be a day, that regenerative medicine is for me. I believe eventually it's for everyone. If you have chronic pain, if you have joint pain, COVID shot issues, onset of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, stem cells and blood spinning can work for you instead of lab-created pharmaceuticals. IdealHealthKC.com. K7 in Shawnee Mission Parkway in Shawnee. It's Dr. Kip Van Camp. Call him for a consultation at 913-745-5300. IdealHealthKC.com. And I got a phone call yesterday from my buddy Gary Joslin over at Joslin's Jewelry. He's doing well. He's had some health issues the last couple of months, but he's getting back to work and back in the shop a little bit, so we're glad that he's doing well at Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Still never a commission, always the best service, and hands down, the only place to consider repairing your jewelry in Kansas City is Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Lee Sterling is up with some bracketology and some picks for you this weekend. It's March Madness on KKHI. Hit it!
The Kevin Keatsman Has Issues conversation is brought to you by Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com.
We're going to South Beach with the Sultan of South Beach in a deep dive into March Madness, the NCAA tournament. Lee Sterling is ready to take your calls right now and get signed up for all the madness that is the NCAA tournament at 800-400-9741, or easier yet, log on to ParamountSports.com and win with Lee Sterling this March. Hello, Lee. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I am ready to go this tournament. Probably had our best year, believe it or not, in 30 years in basketball. I've only had two losing weeks. So it's just been one of those things. I've been able to read most of these teams, and a couple of the teams I haven't been able to read are out of the tournament. So I'm feeling real good about the tournament. And the key to everything is know the rules if you're going to fill out a bracket. Betting each game individually is one thing, but if you're going to fill out a bracket, know the point system. So I had a friend one time, he moved from LA to Miami. He joined our March Madness bracket, and he ended up predicting all four Final Four teams, and Arizona was in it, and Arizona won. And he didn't make a dime.
What?
And he was like befuddled. And he's like, what went wrong? I'm like, you got to read the rules. This isn't one of those tournaments, our brackets, where some of them are like 1-2 points in the first round, then it jumps up to like 10, 20, 30, 50. It is 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30. So the first round is very important. You got to be judicious if that's the case with picking your first round upset. So most important thing, and maybe one of the reasons that you and I didn't end up going to an Ivy League school, is read the rules.
Yeah. I'm not in a bracket contest this year. I'm in a bunch of squares pools, and they're pretty good. Okay. It's $100 a square, so they pay out really nice. And it's every single game of the tournament. So it's pretty easy to hit at least something. Obviously, you want to hit late where you can make more. But the last time I did a bracket 2 years ago, I thought it was really interesting, but I knew the rules. I just didn't know exactly what I was doing. The first and second round games, you got a point number based on the seed of the team that you circled. So if you took 12,
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, if you took 12 James Madison over Wisconsin and they won, you get 12 points for James Madison.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of interesting.
I like that the best, but, you got to play based on the rules.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so before we get into each region, because we're going to break those down, and then we'll talk about our area teams here, KU, Iowa State, maybe a little Nebraska and Creighton. What do you have for folks this March if they sign up? Is it for the entire tournament? Do you do it by the weekend? What can our listeners do?
So the way it works is you can get everything from today through the final on Monday, April 8th. Every college basketball selection I have, we're going to have six or seven selections, maybe even eight, the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday. So you're going to get probably 65 to 75 games over the 3 weeks of the tournament. And also we throw in NBA. We're red hot also. So every basketball selection for 3 weeks through Monday, April 8th, last year was 397. I was thinking about putting it down to 297, but we've had so much fun with it. And I know if I win for people and they come on board, they're going to want to come on board for, and they're going to want to do UFC on a daily and weekly basis. We've come out with those Saturday selections. You've been following those and winning big like never before. Baseball is starting. Baseball starts. And then also you're going to want to continue with us in the NBA through the NBA finals, hockey. There's even XFL, the USFL. They ended up having a merger there with the two leagues. So it's now called the XFL. So we're doing it all and winning big in every single sport. $197 through Monday, April 8th. Just one place, ParamountSports.com, or call the office. We can take your order over the phone, ParamountSports.com.
That's awesome, man. All right, let's go to the East region where the UConn Huskies are the number one overall seed, but it looks to me like their 2, 3, and 4 seeds are the toughest in the tournament right now. Your thoughts on UConn and how the East region breaks out?
So UConn, I went and saw them over the Thanksgiving Day break against Texas, and let me tell you something. They do everything. I mean, they can shoot threes. They can feed the ball down low to their big guys and score. And even if you break them down a little bit and you're able to get inside, they got a 7-2 monster waiting for you. So I think UConn is the team to beat here. Yeah, they might have some tough games against Auburn, could face Illinois or Iowa State, but they are clearly the class of the tournament here. Iowa State can give them a battle here, but Iowa State was given no great shake of a draw here as a 2. They could have to face Drake, which is like 25 miles away from them in the second round, and then also Illinois. So, you know, this is a really tough, usually the number one seed overall in the tournament, I wouldn't say has it cake, but this is going to be a tough, tough region here. But UConn, I'm not going to be like Jay Billis. This will probably one of only 2 number one seeds I see making it all the way to the Final Four.
In the West region, North Carolina is the number one seed, and I just kind of view them as a lesser number one. I didn't think the ACC was great this year, and it's just hard for me to see North Carolina and Duke in the same vein that I used to, and maybe that's some bias against the coaches that are gone. What do you see in North Carolina, and how does the West shape up?
Well, I mean, this is a team that's been there a couple of years ago, North Carolina. They just faced a red-hot North Carolina State team. I think the winner of North Carolina-Alabama is going to go there. You talk about having some fun. The bottom part of this bracket is fun. I'm not saying they're going to advance to the Final Four, but a first-round upset, I like New Mexico. I like them. They're favored for a reason here, laying 2 as 11 seed against Clemson. Clemson never should have been number 6 seed. New Mexico has 2 sons of NBA players in House and Mashburn Jr. They can light it up, and they're red hot. Baylor plays some really good defense. Dayton, I think, will knock off Nevada, and they'll win that game easy, and maybe even upset Arizona, who always finds a way to lose. So I think the winner of North Carolina and Alabama gets it done. And another big upset, Grand Canyon. I like Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. So when Grand Canyon was first talked about, wasn't it an online school?
I think that's right. Yeah. Now, they've been around a few years now, but yes, I think they originally started out like that.
I think they were online or had a campus, and I think maybe 75, 85% of their students were online. So let me tell you something. Whatever they were doing, there was a lot of money getting pumped into that university. If you've seen their facilities and their basketball arena, just check it out. I was watching. It's incredible. I think the Colangelo clan also donated a lot of money there. So I like Grand Canyon, which is going to play St. Mary's, which is just happy they beat Gonzaga finally in their conference tournament.
I don't think I'd eat my hat if something lower than a 4 seed made it to the Final Four there. If all top 4 seeds got knocked out, I wouldn't blow me away. I don't think it's, you never think it's going to happen, but that would be the one I'd look at and go, oh yeah, I could see them all getting knocked off somehow.
I agree.
Somehow, some way. All right, in the South, man, Houston, good Lord. We had a game here in Kansas City last Saturday that just blew us away because Houston's just been playing so great all year. Their lockdown defense. And I've said a million times on the podcast over the last 6 weeks, Lee, I said, I love Houston. I love their intensity. Kelvin Sampson can coach. But they do have every game about a 10-minute stretch where they can't score. Well, they had about a 40-minute stretch on Saturday where they couldn't score. Holy crap. They got to be scared to death of entering this tournament after that kind of an effort.
Oh, I would agree here. And you talk about the top part of a bracket, the toughest four teams. I think it's Houston, Texas A&M, who I think will get by Nebraska. You talk about a team that's under the radar. Texas A&M, how about this? So they played Houston and only lost by 3 points in that game, and they were missing two key starters. Then they also, you know, they went out and beat Iowa State, beat two other number two seeds, and beat Kentucky twice. Mm. Texas A&M can play with anyone, and then whoever wins between, let's say it's Houston and Texas A&M, they got to face the winner probably of Wisconsin and Duke. So I'm going to take a shot here. You want a long, long shot? Texas A&M makes my Final Four.
Ooh, I like that in the South. Now let's go to the Midwest where the Kansas Jayhawks will be playing. Purdue is the one seed. Kansas is the four, so they could be on a collision course here. And I think everybody's looking at a second-round matchup of KU and Gonzaga, should they both win. Right. But this isn't really like KU and Gonzaga. Neither one of them was their normal self this year.
No, I mean they got a really good draw, did Kansas, but I think you can only play them in-game wagering. I mean, we don't even know who's going to start for them. So that's a real problem for this team without both of their top two players here. Without Hunter Dickinson, who I think will play but could get hurt again, or Kevin McCullough Jr., they're in trouble. I mean, you saw the last two games. They weren't even average. So I think they'll blow out Samford, but from that point forward, I would only look at them as an in-game wager team.
All right, and who do you like Purdue coming out of the Midwest?
You know, I think Purdue's going to find a way to lose again.
Really?
Purdue. I mean, the free throw shooting hasn't been good here. I think that the bottom of the bracket might end up with the team gets there. So I'm going to take a flyer on Creighton. I think Creighton will beat Akron easy. I think they'll beat South Carolina. And then let's say Texas and Tennessee face off. They'll get to face the winner, and that winner might be spent, and they might catch him at the wrong time. So sometimes it's not how good you are. Creighton might have had some better teams in the past. It's how you're playing and who you're playing at that time. You can have an upset and play a team who you never thought you were going to face, and it's a better matchup. So let's take a flyer there. So let's go with UConn in the East. They match up against Alabama. And in the South, in the Midwest, Texas A&M, and also Creighton.
I love it. It's only one seed. That'd be really great. Now, I have not looked at all the game lines yet, but I'm going to be, and I'm going to be playing a lot of these games as I'm headed out to Vegas for a couple of days for the first round of the tournament, Thursday and Friday's games, which is going to be a lot of fun. Is there any general rule of thumb as you're getting ready to pick the games that you're going to play each day? How much do you factor in the season versus conference tournament play last week, that sort of thing? How do you decide what's really important as you try to handicap these games in this tournament?
So what I do is I factor in more, you know, what happened later in the season. And that's very important also on the road. These are games that are going to be played at neutral sites. So I pretty much throw out what a team did at home and just look at how they did on the road and also how they're playing of late. So I think that that's important. And also I want a guard that can handle the ball and also shoot free throws down the stretch.
Wow. Yeah, no question about it. And there are teams that are glaringly without guard play. I mean, we've seen what some of those teams are. I'm assuming you avoid those teams at all costs at this point. Don't most people just believe that absolutely guard play is the most important part here going forward?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just like the NBA. Centers are almost extinct. So, you know, in the college game, you can use them a little bit more. But, you know, what we found is, you know, with these motion offenses here, you know, teams, you've got to be able to keep moving the ball here. And once you get to the final 2 minutes, that's why a lot of teams take out their center. So it's going to be a fun tournament. But like I said, bet within your means and follow, you know, what's going on here. You got to pay attention to injuries. And also, the final 2 minutes, it's important to have a good coach who can call a play once in a while instead of just the weave offense.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, every play that Lee Sterling and ParamountSports.com have through April 8th and NBA added could be 60, 70 plays here over the next few weeks, just $197. If you call Lee at 800-400-9741 or just log on to ParamountSports.com, just $197 is going to be an awful lot of action, and this is the daily service. You just call it every day, and whatever's
yep,
up is up.
Every single day when there's tournament games, they'll come out probably by 10, 10:30. The games will be up and available. We rate them from a low of 10 to a high of 50 units. And, you know, when there's just night games, you know, like on these sometimes these Thursdays and Fridays, games are up and available by 1 p.m. So it can be a lot of fun, hopefully make some money for you like we've done 8 of the last 10 years. ParamountSports.com or call me here at the office. 800-400-9741.
Lee, you're the best. Let's go get him. Let the madness begin.
Sounds good. See you, Kevin.
Take care. There's Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. The Sultan of South Beach is all over March Madness. You heard him right there with a really interesting and unique Final Four. I love that. I love the fact that he's taking some other teams, and he gave you some great advice there on teams that he thinks are going to maybe make deep runs here. Alabama, Texas A&M is a real long shot, I think, because, I mean, they could lose to Nebraska pretty easily in the first game. And then Creighton. So I like the fact that he's not going scratch. He's going to try very hard to give you his idea of teams that he think can make a little noise you might not be thinking of. He picked several lower seeds. I never know where to see a higher seed, lower seed, worst team. Took a couple of 12 seeds there, gave you some advice on those if you're doing brackets. And then each day, what he does is he loves to look at the formulas of these teams and then look at the line. Like, okay, we got this matchup here of these teams. What do I think is going to happen? Then he looks at the line and says, okay, that one he thinks is off by 4 or 5 points, and he's clearly going to go the other way. So it's fascinating. He's got a full staff and a whole bunch of people that crunch a bunch of numbers on these things, and they do them overnight, getting ready for the next round each time. If you'd like to subscribe for the tournament, that's pretty cheap entertainment, $197, really. If you've got the app or if you like to play, no matter how much you play, that's a great insight. If you can't follow it all that closely, that's pretty good stuff from Lee Sterling. We always appreciate him coming on. The Sultan of South Beach is what we call Lee Sterling. The Sultan of South Beach. Greatly appreciate everything that he does for us. Brought to you today by Window World. Simply the best for less. Online at windowskansascity.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. Home of the lifetime warranty with GMC. We are professional grade. And Buck Disposal. Online at buckdisposal.com. Call 913-242-7695 for all your disposal needs, locally owned and operated, Saturday and Sunday, work if necessary, buckdisposal.com. All right, folks, have a great, great time with the NCAA tournament. We're going to have interview podcasts coming your way on Thursday and Friday while the tournament's taking place, because I'm getting on a jet plane and I'm going to be in Vegas on Thursday and Friday for the first round of the tournament. So we're going to have a couple of real fun interviews. I know that you're going to like those and enjoy those greatly. We're going to Pete Mundo on from KCMO Talk Radio. We've got a lot to talk with him about. And, of course, our financial advisor, Trevor Holsinger, is going to be with us talking to us about finances, the economy, and where things are going in this election year. It should be really good stuff. And I can't thank you enough for joining us at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.